I'm joined by Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors. Hi, Pauline.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
Yes. So I'm fantastic. Thank you. So you're here, obviously, to talk about lots of things. You come in to talk about splitting up money when you divorce and property and all that kind of thing. But something we haven't touched on so far is the digital world.
Yes. I thought we'd talk today about something a bit more practical and probably something that lots of people don't have at the front of their mind when they're separating. You know, we're all quite conscious, certainly in our professional world, about how we share data. But I'm not sure that we take it so seriously in our private lives. Lots of people share data issues with their partner or their husband or wife. And that's fine if you're happy to do that and the relationship is going well. But what if it's not? And what happens to your data and someone having access to what you're doing and your privacy when you're separating? You know, as I'm sure when you can imagine that if you're separating, there's sometimes a build up to the separation. So you may be doing things online or with your finances that you might not necessarily want your partner to be aware of. So it's about thinking about those issues in the period both leading up to a separation and then what happens after you separate, because it's all about your responsibility to protect your own data. And that's really important.
So this covers from bank accounts and details like that that you would have in your mind, right through to your Facebook, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're all doing all sorts of stuff online these days. It's how the world is now. And if you sit down and think about all the things that you do online, do you really want your partner or ex-partner to be aware of all of that? So I suppose the first thing to think about particularly is your money, whether you've got a joint account or whether you've got an account in your sole name. Are you sharing the passwords and all the login details to your bank account with your partner? Because if you do, then they've got free access to your money. The bank aren't going to protect you at all. You know, I've had numerous cases over the years where someone has taken money from your account. So whether it's a joint account, but it may be your salary that's gone in there, it may be your savings, it may be money that's been given to you, but it's yours. It could be in a joint account or it could be in an account in your sole name. But if you've given someone access to getting into your account and they take your money, that's your responsibility. The bank are not going to be able to help you an enormous amount because you've given them access to your data and your login details. I mean, there are certain things that you could do from a legal perspective. So you could potentially apply to the courts to freeze money that someone's taken out of your account. But that's going to take time. It's going to cost you money in legal fees, and there's going to be all that aggro and uncertainty about it. It would be so much easier if you just protect yourself and change your login details, change your passwords, so someone doesn't have access to your money. It may not be also that you're concerned about someone having access to your money. You might just be concerned about someone having information about what you're doing with your bank account.
Right.
So, for example, you may want to go and take legal advice. So the solicitor's details may be shown on your bank account. You may be looking at putting a deposit down for another property if you're thinking about moving out, but you haven't told your partner yet that's what you're going to do. So it's not just about protecting your income or your savings, it's about protecting the data on the bank account. Do you really want someone to know what you're doing?
And I guess the thing here is, especially with a joint account, when you're very much in love with your partner or whatever, you trust them, and that becomes the awkward stage where if you do then share those login details initially, if things go bad, you need to sort of change your password and take it back, which is awkward in itself, isn't it? If you
say, actually, I'm going to change it. Yeah, particularly when it's a joint account.
Yeah.
You know, and that's perhaps a discussion to be had with your partner, because if you are separating, they're probably going to be just as concerned about their data and their finances as you are. So if you can, obviously these things are better discussed and talked about and agreed. But if you think, well, actually, this isn't going to go down too well, that I want to do this, then you've just got to take action to protect yourself.
It's a bit like you just need to sit down at the beginning and say, let's talk about the logistics of this.
Yeah.
I know we love each other, but let's have our own passwords, even for our joint account.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can do that, then that's definitely the best way forward.
And it's not just money that we're talking about here, which is the obvious thing. It's also all sorts of other things. So where should you start if you're changing your passwords? What's the best place to start?
Well, certainly I would start with bank accounts, yeah, because that's important. But things like your email account. Do you want your partner to know what you've been doing on your email? You know, again, you may be, and your internet browser, all your history, you might want to be changing those sorts of things, because you may be researching for new housing or children's schools or finding lawyers. So you don't necessarily want your partner to know that that's what you've been doing. You certainly probably don't want them having access to your email account after you've separated, because you may be saying all sorts of things that you just don't want them to know, whether they know you're separating or not. An important thing to do is to remember that lots of the devices these days are all synced up. Mm. So quite often, if you sort out your email and your internet access on one account, make sure you do it on all of them. Because I know clients in the past that think that they've sorted this, only to find actually all their devices are synced, and you know, you may be found out doing things you don't want your partner to know about on your other device, and that can cause all sorts of problems.
Well, this is something that I think is quite common, is that people often have like you might have your own phone and maybe your own laptop or whatever, but people often have like a family tablet.
Absolutely.
So, and that could be where maybe you trip up, because you haven't, that's a shared device that's then got all those, that information.
Yeah, it's shared devices, but also your own device or a secondary device that is synced and your partner has access to. They're all linked up. So you've got to stop access to all of the devices.
This is the bit where you're going to have to explain, Pauline. As a single man myself, I can't, and quite a young guy, so I've been brought up in the digital age, I can't imagine having two passwords the same, Pauline. Never mind sharing them with somebody else.
You'd be amazed the number of people that do it, actually. And it's fine. As I said, if you're happy and you're in a relationship and things are going well, people do it, and that's a choice that they make. But you've got to protect yourself if things aren't going so well.
Well, I've talked to the people upstairs, because I couldn't believe people would share passwords. Mm. And they said they know their partner's passwords, and it's because one time they've had to log into something and then they know that their partner always uses the same password for everything.
Yeah.
Which is a big tripping point.
It's a big no-no anyway.
So now they've got access to everything.
Yeah.
And they just think that's normal. But
it is normal, and it's very commonplace, and that's what happens.
Would you advise to... Different passwords, well, obviously different passwords for everything you should do anyway.
But you should do, it's a best practice, isn't it? I suppose it's awkward, isn't it? It's a difficult discussion, because if you're happy in a relationship and all of a sudden you say to your spouse or your partner, darling, I'd like to change all of our passwords so you can't see what I'm doing, you know, that's probably not going to go down very well.
Yeah, it does. It does have that connotations of you want to do something
wrong.
I
want to get up to something that I don't want you to know about. Maybe it's something that could be done gradually over time. I don't know. But certainly if you're starting in a new relationship, best advice and best practice is certainly don't be sharing passwords and login details and allowing someone to have access to your data. And even if you do, so for example, you've just given the example of someone upstairs who's had access on one occasion, well, then change your password after that.
Yeah.
So if you need to allow your partner access to your account for whatever reason, or your email, just change it after that. That's fine. It's just thinking about it.
To me, I think that's like sharing passwords is a stage too far. It's like sharing toothbrushes. It's like, hey, we're in a relationship.
Yeah.
But let's have our own toothbrushes. Let's have our own Twitter accounts. Do you know what I mean?
Because that's a very healthy adult thing to do, but not
also probably why I'm alone, Pauline. as well as email, which is a good place to start, as you say, because when you change your passwords, often they're sent to your email address.
Yeah, absolutely.
As confirmation.
Yeah. So you've got to be changing your email.
At first, after the banking or whatever, the email's important, yeah. Because if you change all your social media passwords and they're all emailed to your email account and your partner yeah. has your email account, and they've got all your new passwords yeah,
absolutely.
Anyway.
And then think about your social media accounts. Mm. You know, have people be having access to everything you're doing on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these other accounts that everyone has these days. Do you really want people to know what you're doing? Be very careful about that.
And they're used, it's not just about having your partner see what you've put as your status update or something, but also because the chat communications on all of these yeah. platforms are used so much, you could be talking to your parents or your friends or whatever about advice and what to do, and yeah. it's that kind of thing that you don't want them seeing as well.
It is, absolutely. But also that you might be going out having a good time whilst they're not.
Mm.
And that can cause resentments and difficulties, and, you know, they don't need to know. If your relationship is over and you've separated, they don't need to know what you're doing, really. I think, you know, keep those sorts of things private anyway.
And I'll tell you what does happen, Pauline, and I mean, people try to avoid it. So you can block each other on everything because you don't want to know. Like you say, you don't want to know if they're having a good time, it's over, whatever. But then there will come a day. There will come a day, however it's a few weeks on, a few months on, even a year on, that you go and have a look. You actively go out of curiosity.
It's human nature, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you've got, even if you've blocked them, if they've got your passwords, they can look on your account. So it doesn't matter whether you've blocked their account. And that's, you want to avoid that. Even if you think I've blocked them and everything, you just want to take that password away just because that is a way they can have a look.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it is human nature to go and try and have a look, but you need to protect yourself, really.
I'm glad you've confirmed that's human nature, Pauline.
Well, it is, I think. You know, I think it's difficult for everyone, whether it's your choice to end a relationship or not. You've still had that relationship with someone for a period of time, and there'll always be that curiosity, I think.
Mm.
But try and stay away from it if you can.
And is it worth, Pauline, asking for sort of technical advice? Because as you say, with things like the cloud, you might not be aware that say if you share an iCloud, for example, account, you're taking pictures on your phone, they're automatically getting uploaded to the cloud that might be shared with your ex-partner, and then they're seeing all these photos going up.
Yeah.
So it's like to double check that it's not just your accounts you're changing, but also the access to things
like
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And actually that's a good example, actually, with the photos, because also, you know, lots of people put photos of their children up on social media. And you've got to think about how it would seem to your ex if they're seeing what you're doing with your children.
Yeah.
And also how the children then may be faced with questions going home to the other parent about, well, what have you been up to? I've seen you've been doing this. You know, that could put the child in a difficult situation as well.
And streaming platforms, Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever, you can share those, and people often do share those, and that you can see viewing history. Now, I'm getting really
all right,
deep
you're getting really technical, but over my pay grade.
Yeah, so you can, if one had shared their Netflix with a partner before, and then you split up, and then you see on your viewing history programs coming up like continue watching whatever, and you haven't watched that, so you know it's them that's watched that. That can still upset people if you're watching rom-coms or something.
I suppose,
do you know what
so.
I mean?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
if you've been watching a series together and then you split up and then they continue watching the series.
Yeah, I can understand that could be a bit difficult.
It's even like small things like that.
You're a really sensitive guy, aren't you? Yes, this sort of thing worries you. I can tell.
And then you really look into it. As a top tip, you can go on Netflix in your options and delete your viewing history.
There you go,
each time you
know
watch
it.
Something.
You know it already.
So if you are secretly watching someone else's account when they logged in, you've got to delete what you viewed so that they've got no idea.
So does that mean that they can log into your account and see what you've paid for?
Mm.
So you may not want that, might you? You're paying for a service.
Yeah.
And your ex is able to benefit from still watching that service.
Yes. There is a friend of mine, I don't know how appropriate this story is, there's a friend of mine who had a girlfriend and they both paid for music streaming service and they split it four ways with his dad and his brother and her, and they split up and they've continued for years to pay for this streaming service together. So they don't talk at all or anything, but he gets £5 in his account every
I suppose a bit works and
month.
It's fine, but you might then be able to see what music you reach.
That's a bit strange.
Know. That's a bit strange, but, you know, if it works for you, it works for you, and if it doesn't cause any issues, it's fine.
It's sort of a different realm of, like, jointly paying for subscriptions,
yeah.
essentially, that you then still both use, maybe not related to it, seeing each other, these subscriptions, yeah. but that adds an added sort of mess into
complication,
it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, my sister pays for the upgraded Netflix so that her boyfriend can watch it as well, but on my account, it's all very... I don't know what's going to happen, Pauline, if they break up and I stop talking to my sister or something.
Yeah, or if you stop talking to your sister, then you're really in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, so the advice is then, one, is the advice just don't share passwords from the beginning?
Well, in an ideal world, but I think that's not real life, is it? It's like anything. If it works for you at the time, it's fine. But if things change... you've certainly got to start protecting yourself sooner rather than later. And that may be prior to separation because you're doing research or starting to change the way that you do things online that you don't want your partner to know about. So start thinking about those issues and then plan forward. So think about, well, what is it that I log into that I don't want my what would then be your ex-partner or husband or wife to share? And it may well be things such as, in really important things, lots of schools these days communicate with parents through a login on a parent site online. Well, you want to make sure that you can have access to that solely as a parent, but also that you jointly receive certain things that the school are sending to you. So it's little things like that. So just be aware, it's not just normal data in terms of banks and phones and iCloud and computers and emails. It's what other data is coming to you both that you either still want access to or you don't want the other person to have your login details to it.
And this is an interesting point as well. If you are having a look at your partner's stuff, that it is actually a crime to access someone's emails.
It is, even, technically.
Even if you've previously had access.
Yeah, and even if they've given you consent.
What, even if they're giving consent,
if you withdraw the consent,
right.
then because you don't want them to, but you haven't actually changed the login details, it's still a crime.
Which can warrant sentences of up to 12 months.
It can, as a maximum sentence.
It's funny because people look at cybercrime as not real crime, don't they, quite often?
They do, yeah.
Because it's in a digital landscape. But
yeah.
That's, so don't, even if you've got the password... you know, don't do it. And does that mean, so if someone has, you've forgotten to change one and you've seen something, then you can be prosecuted?
I think that the likelihood is you wouldn't. The trouble is, if someone is, this can turn almost into stalking, can't it?
Yeah.
If you're not careful. And what you don't want then is having a situation where someone is knowing exactly what you're doing, having access to your stuff and your data. And it then starts becoming much more of a serious borderline criminal issue of stalking and harassment. So, you know, you want to stop all of that before it gets too out of hand.
Can you get, so a restraining order, does that apply digitally as well?
It can do if it relates to harassment, but harassment's a criminal offence, and certainly the police these days are very... very clued up on trying to sort out things when people separated to stop harassment getting out of hand.
Cool. All very interesting stuff, Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors. It's something that you don't think of in separation.
You don't think of, and I think that's why some people get caught out. And what could be a very amicable, sensible, child-focused separation can all of a sudden become very acrimonious and very difficult. Because you don't think about some of these issues.
And you have just reinforced my thoughts that I'm never going to share my password for anything.
Good.
Ever. Thank you very
I'll
much.
I'll hold you to that.
Thank you very much for joining me.
Cheers.